Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Holiday is really what a holiday stands for, is a holy day. And there's no holier day than being in the presence of God. Amen. And guess what? It doesn't have to be a holiday for you to go into his presence. Amen. But I'm just excited to be here. I'm going to preach on a quick word today. I'm going to have 3 points I'm going to be touching on, hopefully. Just depends on how long it takes. But we're going to talk today about be my guide. Somebody say, be my guide. Now, I don't know about you, just a guide in the natural sense usually is there's times where you're going somewhere you haven't been before and you're like, hey, I need a guide to kind of show me the places that I am going. And don't be afraid, these are fireworks out there, okay? This is 4th of July, that's what they're going to do, okay? But let's say you go to a new country and they're like, hey, you got to try this food. You usually find a guide to take you to all the places, right? So he makes sure that you don't miss out on any of the spectacular places, right? What good would it be for you to go to the place where they have the Eiffel Tower? And where is that? Anybody know? France, right? Okay, if you're in France and you don't see the Eiffel Tower, wouldn't you kind of feel bummed out? Like, man, I went all the way, first of all, from here to France, it's a long trip, right? And if you miss that, it's going to be tough, right? You're going to be like, oh, man, what did you see? Well, I just had this same food every night. Now, that's not what you do. You want a guide to help you. And many times in our walk with Christ, we need a guide to help us, amen? We need the Spirit of God to guide us in all things. The Bible also talks about, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it says he will lead us in all truth, which basically means he will guide us, but he also will remind us of the things that God has said. Amen. So we must allow him to be our guide. So today I have a couple of points that I'm going to talk on, and these are the keys to let the Spirit of God be your guide. See, check it out. The Spirit of God, this ain't going to drive if you don't give him the keys. He's saying, hey, if you want me to be your guide, let me know, because I got these things to do. I got this to do. And if I can't get this done, hey, we're going to be in trouble, right? Hey, Markayla, I need you to help with this thing over here, please. But we have to give him the clearance to be our guide. Amen. So number one is hearing. Somebody say hearing. In order to be guided by the Spirit of God, I have to hear the Spirit of God. Now, see, a lot of people wonder, Brother Tamron, if God can hear them, but they never get to the point where they say, God, can I hear you? See, it's one thing to hear, is just wonder, God, are you hearing my prayers? And the Bible says he is attentive to our prayers. The Bible even says if you're walking in uprightness with him, which just means you've accepted Jesus Christ and say, hey, I want to follow you. He says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, which means they are very essential, if we want to use that word, right? Also, God is listening to our prayers, but our question is, and one of the biggest things, the turning points that I believe that really keeps believers walking with God is their ability to hear from God. Because I don't know about you, God will tell you the right thing to do from the wrong thing to do, right? That's the relationship we have. Our prayer life is really all focused on talking to God and hearing from God. The more advanced you are in hearing from God, the more advanced you will be in walking out what God has called you to be. Amen? So somebody say hearing. Hearing. Now, I don't know about you. We live in a day and age where a lot of people don't listen to radios. But I remember growing up in radios, and if you had it on the wrong frequency, you're going to hear a whole bunch of things, right? You might hear music in the background, right? You might hear somebody talking, and you might hear this, and it's not clear. I'm getting somewhere. See, sometimes we are not on the right frequency, so we can't hear what God's trying to say. Maybe because we got our own agenda. Like, okay, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. Yeah, I don't know if God's going to fit in this box because I got to keep him in this box, you know, because I got things to do. And guess what? What begins to happen is we're tuning them out because we got a whole other frequency that we're listening to. And that frequency can you be yourself or even the enemy. But it's a battle to get a clear frequency. But when you get it to the right frequency, right? And especially if it's an FM channel and they playing music, it's going to sound clear, right? You're going to be like, okay, now I can jam, right? But if your frequencies is crossed, something is not right. My son, Marcel, he is a huge Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, that movie, he loves that movie, right? And in that movie, Miles, we all kind of know, if you haven't watched this movie, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you. Miles is the main character, and he gets bit by a spider, a radioactive spider, right? And all of a sudden, he's so in tune with his own brain that he hears all his thoughts. So he's walking. Why is this? Da-da-da-da. Oh, she's tall. He's hearing all these things that are going on in his head, and he's even asking, why are my thoughts so loud? Right? But he tapped into something different. I don't know about you. When you tap into the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear different. You're going to start seeing things different, but you're going to hear his voice on a whole nother level. And I know Spider-Man is a great thing, but guess what? God has called you to save the universe. Right? I know some of us are like, I don't know about that. No, he needs somebody to share who Jesus is to help save the universe. Amen? But see, Miles began to hear, and this was new to him. And I'm going to say this, for some of us, hearing from the Spirit of God is a new thing, but we must train ourselves and understand what the Spirit of God is doing. We're going to talk real quick about 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I want you guys to get this. Really, what happens is Samuel is in the house of God or the temple of God at that time, right? And while he's in the temple, what is happening is he is getting ready to go to bed, and he hears a voice. And since he had never heard God speak before, he says, oh, maybe that's Eli. Eli was the prophet at that time, right? He was under Eli. He was being trained. And if we go back further, Samuel was born by Hannah, right? We got a Hannah in here, right? But Hannah had a child that she thought she wouldn't have a child. And she said, when I have this child, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. So what she did was once he was weaned, they took that child into the house of God. And he worked pretty much and learned the things of God in the house of God. So now we see he's at a place where he is sleeping, or he's kind of tired, getting ready to sleep, but he hears his voice, so he keeps on going and saying, hey, Eli, what you say? What is it? How can I help you? And he said, I didn't call you. So this happens a couple of times, right? And then Eli, after a while, says, God is trying to speak to him. And in this scripture, it says that Samuel had not heard the voice of God yet. Right? I don't know about you. The first time God spoke to me, it was like, wow, I can hear his voice. That changes the game. Right? But Samuel did not know what to do. So Eli instructs him and says, next time you hear him say something to you, just say, here I am, your servant. I'm here. I'm willing. I'm ready and willing. And I'm going to say this, I always say this about Pastor Gail, one of the most important things that I remember her sharing, and she shared a lot, but this really helped me in my walk with God. She said that God is always speaking, but are you listening? Right? And if you ever hear me talk about listening from God, I always plug that in there. God is always speaking, but are you listening? And sometimes I got to check myself to make sure I am in tune with what God is saying. There's a story that Pastor Nate shared that he was looking for a job and they were getting ready to lose their house. And he heard the Spirit of God say, get on your bike, ride down this trail, go over here. And Pastor Nate tells it better than me, but I'm just sharing it. And he says, he went and did what the Spirit of God said. And there was a man sitting on a bench and he was just shaking his head. And Pastor Nate went to sat by him. And he was like, man, I have these houses that need to be pressure washed, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And Pastor Nate never pressure washed, but he was like, hey, if God led me here, he could teach me how to do that. Right. So he began talking to him and say, hey, what does it take? You know, what do you need? And God opened the door because he was willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, I will say this, when we hear God's voice, and we got to be very careful. I say this every time. When you're hearing God's voice, he will never contradict the word of God, but he will help you in your life. Amen. He will not contradict the word of God and say, so, oh, you need some money? They're robbing a bank down there. Come on. All you got to do is drive the car, right? He's not going to say that. He's going to tell you things that you should do, things that are in line with the word. So that happened for Pastor Nate. And I'll tell you this, the same thing can happen for you. You can be like, God, what is going on? What should I do? I'm trying to figure out how I can provide for my family. And if you're still in quiet, he will give you things, right? Because he's a provider, not you. Sometimes we got to get that in our mind. He's a provider. So we have to be in position to hear from God. Tell your neighbor to get in position. When I'm praying, sometimes I put headphones on, and I have some big headphones, and I take the wire out so they're not even plugged in. This is only when my kids are awake. This is how I can kind of keep it quiet so I can hear from God. And I might be curled up and, you know, folded all over my bed just praying to God so I can hear him. Right? I have to get in position. You can't hear God with blaring music all the time. Now, I'm not going to say he doesn't speak while there's music playing. I believe he can. Right? But there is times where you have to be still. Elijah, when he was like, God, speak to me. And it says he wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He was in a still, small voice. So we have to be in position to hear from God. Amen. So the first thing is hearing. And I want you guys to go read First Samuel chapter 3. Next, fasting. Somebody say fasting. Now, you guys didn't say that like you were excited. And I made up my own definition for fasting. I went and read like some information on fasting. So I'm going to say it like this. Removal of food or other distractions exchanged with seeking God through prayer in order to clearly hear God for direction and asking God to move miraculously in our lives and for those around us. Is that okay? Does that work for what fasting is? See, fasting is not just not eating food. That's a diet, right? God doesn't move on diets. God moves when you seek him. Now, I'm going to say this, you know, growing up when you were younger, I mean, we just didn't eat food and thought we were fasting. Right? Oh, man, I love you more than food. You know, that's what I say all the time when I'm fasting still. But then I realize the important thing about fasting is being clear of all these things, these frequencies that keep me from hearing from God. So I clear things out. Somebody say clear out. So my question is, and the question I might ask is, why do we fast? So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 through 17. And Jesus explains, because John's disciples, and this is John the Baptist, were like, why aren't you fasting right now? Why are your disciples not fasting? See, look, you don't fast when Jesus is already there. He's already correcting you. He's already telling you this is the way. This is what you must do, right? So John asked him, it says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Okay? Then it says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Okay, so what we see Jesus is saying is, if I am gone, that's when we need to fast. Why? Because that's when we need to remember what he taught, right? That's when we need to remember all the things. And sometimes the Bible says the Holy Spirit will instruct us on what we are supposed to do even before it happens, right? He says prepare by just being in tune with the Holy Spirit, because even if you're not prepared, if you hear him, he will tell you what to say when you come before men and women, great men and women, right? So we do not fast in order to make ourselves look good, right? Because that's kind of what the Pharisees were saying. We're better than you. We're fasting. You're not. No, he said, no, we fast so we can be in tune with God, so we can be back or reconnected with God. Amen. That's why we fast. Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18, it says, we don't fast unto men. Why do we not fast unto men? Because you will have your reward from them. And guess what? They're not really going to give you anything. Nobody is giving out rewards for who fasted the longest. I have not seen that in the world. What is that? The Guinness World Book of Records, right? Haven't seen who fasted the longest, right? But it says this, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, somebody say your Father, who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, I don't want a reward from men because they don't have what God has. I want a reward from God because he's the one that knows my heart. He's the one that knows why I'm really fasting in the first place. So clean yourself up. Now, back in the day, they used to wear sackcloth and ashes when they were fasting, right? So they shirts all torn up, ashes all on them. So they looked like, oh, I'm fasting, right? It was a look they had to have. So it looked like they were worn out. But Jesus came down and said, that's enough of that, because that's just a contest. We need to fast unto God. Amen? And I believe that when we are fasting, the Spirit of God will speak even more clear. We remove the distractions, and we're fasting this week coming up, so just a heads up. Amen. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. And I talked about hearing from God. All of this is for the Spirit of God to be our guide. The last thing I'm going to talk about today is praying. Somebody say prayer. And I define this as simply talking to God. One of my best friends, I remember, he didn't know how to pray. He had just gave his life to God. And we were like, no, it's your turn to pray. He was like, man, I don't know how to pray. I know some of us have stories like this. A lot of people be like, I don't know what to say to God. It's a scary thing. And one thing I always say is just talk to God like you talk to your best friend. Say, God, I need you. God wants to hear a prayer from your heart. You don't got to be like, how thou art. Holy is thou. If you don't talk like that. Right? Because that's not you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't honor and reverence God. It is important to do that. But God wants to hear you pray. And he wants to simply talk with you to God. I think prayer is another form of ear training. Now, I don't know about you. When you play instruments and you're hearing other people's songs, the more, the better you get at training your ear, the faster you can hear what their song is, right? So you're like, oh, I know what that, okay, that's a circle of fists right there. Oh, that's the one, that's the five, that's the four. Ooh. Oh, moving to the new thing. Right? You can catch those keys, you hear it, but guess what? In the spirit, God is trying to train us. And that's when your prayer, that's what prayer is for. So you're praying, and you might have mighty prayer, but then God wants to mightily talk to you. He wants you to hear him. So I know hearing and praying is very close, but in order for the Spirit to guide us, we have to willingly say, I don't know, and God, I need you. I don't know, God, I need you. We live in a world now where we're getting used to wearing masks and all these, you know, precautions and everything, right? And I don't like doing all this, but I don't know what's going on, God. So teach me so I can make sure I'm doing the right thing, right? I want to do what I need to do to be in the right place, right? It's the same thing with God. There's some things that he may be doing in the spiritual, and if we are not saying, God, I don't know the answer, and we just walk in and see the worst thing you could do as a Christian is to run into something, and then you have to hear God say, I told you, you shouldn't do that. I was trying to get your attention. Marquise, you remember when da-da-da-da did this, and you remember when so-and-so said that? I was trying to. And then you're like, oh, man, I remember. Right? One of the things I always say is before I got married, I really prayed about my wife. I was like, God, please. I want to make sure Precious is the right one. And I didn't move until he said, Precious is the right one. Right? Why? Because this is, you know, for me, I'm not getting married and trying to change the, it's not like a car that you change out every few years, right? I'm committed to commitment, if that's the way, if that's how you say it, right? So I was like, okay, God, if I'm going to make a lifelong decision, why shouldn't I ask you for direction? Okay? If you're going to make, and there's other decisions that I made in my life that I feel like I really didn't pray on, and things happened, right? But I believe it wasn't getting married. That wasn't going to be one of them, right? Because, I mean, you can mess up on a business decision. You can mess up on some of those things. But I'm like, God, next time I go and buy a car, God, Lord, make sure this is the right car. Give me a sign, right? I don't want to buy this car and be on the side of the road, right? Come on, somebody. I believe that the Holy Spirit, the more we get in tune with him, he cares about the things we care about, right? If I'm going to buy a house, I got to say, God, which house is it? Lord, show it to me. When I walk in this place, let me know. We watched the movie, what's that prayer movie? Prayer Room. That's right. Hey, War Room. That's right. And the lady had a room in her house that was a prayer room, right? And when somebody came into this house, they were like, oh, I feel something in here. Oh, because why? Because they were in tune with the Holy Spirit. And they said, oh, this is the room. This somebody been praying in here. And, you know, some people be like, oh, they're crazy. No, that can happen when you're in tune with the Spirit of God. The more you're in tune with the Spirit of God, you can start seeing other believers. There's sometimes I'm in the gym and well, I ain't been in the gym in a while, but you get me. I was in the gym and I would see somebody. I'd be like, I think that dude's a Christian, man. He got to be like, there's something about that guy that from all these other people, there's something that stands. So I go ask him, hey, bro, are you a Christian? He's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, man. How'd you know? I was like, there's just something about you, right? Why? Because the Spirit of God is showing us. So our praying, God is going to reveal things. But he also wants to see if you're willing to listen to him. If you want to set time aside. The only scripture I have for this is a very short scripture, and it says, pray without ceasing. Come on, can somebody memorize that with me real quick? Pray without ceasing. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. But praying without ceasing is something that we as Christians have to do. It's good to pray 5 hours if you can. Whew. It's good to pray an hour if you can. But I believe on prayer without ceasing. That means throughout the day, God, what do you have to say to me? God wants a relationship. He doesn't want a date. Okay? He doesn't want a time and spot that he can only come. See, you know, when we date people, it's on these terms. Come here. Right? And when you come here, I will be there at 6. Don't get there at 5 because I won't be there. Right? But we don't want to do that with God. God, let's have a date. What time? 5 o'clock. Okay, don't come any earlier than that because I don't wake up earlier than that. Right? We don't want to do God like that. God wants to have a real relationship with him. So pray without ceasing. What does that look like? God, how are you doing today? God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that. As you go through the day, begin to thank you. One thing I've told you guys before, I would pray about which way I should go home after dropping the kids off from school. God, direct me. And I would hear him say, turn here. Don't go that way. Right? And I don't know what he's protecting me from, but I'm like, God, I want to hear you in the little things. But that comes from praying without ceasing. Amen. Now, everybody say this. Say, Spirit of God. Be my guide. God wants to guide us. He wants to hear us. He also wants to direct us. And we need to be willing to give him the keys. Amen. I will finish this next week. I have a few more points that we'll talk on, but we're going to continue in that. And honestly, this week, just go throughout this week and say, Spirit, lead me more. Let me be in tune with you more. As the days get wilder and wilder and crazier, we got to say, Spirit of God, teach me, because his spirit can be stronger in us, right? We have not reached the point where we're like, I'm done. I did it all. I graduated. There's no graduation like that in Christ. It's from glory to glory, and it continues to go. I continue to grow in God. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. God, we just humbly come before you and say, God, we need your direction. We need your guidance. We need you to lead and direct us and show us the way. So we submit to you as we pray, as we fast, clear anything that's distracting us so that we can hear from you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let all the church say, amen and amen. If you are impacted or were impacted, go ahead and lift that up. You lift your hand up if you're watching it and this really impacted you. We pray that this has. And if it has, just press the like button and share it with somebody. Maybe somebody else needs to hear this. Don't beat somebody over the head with this, but just share this with somebody. Amen. We are going to take up the offering. Pastor Harold will be up shortly so we can take the offering, and then we will be dismissing. Amen. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.